Hello, everybody out there, wherever you're at.
Blog Talk Radio.
There we go.
Well, here I am in the wind again, floating where it takes me, laughing and splashing in the summer sun, until the alarm clock wakes me. Then it's coffee and a kiss and two cigarettes, and I'm back out in the cold, cold weather, chasing my dream, but I just can't seem to rub two coins together.
Sing it.
Life ain't easy.
They never said it for me.
Life ain't easy.
Whoever said it's your day.
Life ain't easy. And nothing comes free. Free, free, free. Life ain't easy.
Tell me all about it.
Life ain't easy.
No, 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 no.
Life ain't easy. And nothing comes free.
Don't understand the way my mind keeps drifting, and the Lord don't always lend a hand when my poor heart needs lifting. Is home and kids really all there is, or is there something better? And how much soul must a poor man sell to rub two coins together?
Tax breaks are
tax credits, whatever they give to illegals. I think I'd attack that first. I can look at a whole lot of different things than attacking someone who earned that pension, that reward for their service to their country for that many years. I would rather pay for their retirements than pay for a congressman who goes there, sits for 6 to 8 years or whatever it is, and then he gets a lifetime pension. I'd rather be paying for the best.
Better guys losing arms and legs and eyesight and lives.
You served 20 years.
They're actually,
you served 20 years plus.
They're actually
get called
out there.
You could get called out to put your life on the line.
They're not setting behind no desk.
Since 9/11, many of these people have been in and out of Afghanistan, Iraq, and other places and stuff. They've been in combat and dangerous situations. They put their lives on the line the same as a cop or anyone else. Do you see them going after the cops' pension?
Oh, heck no.
It's the same as, what was it? It was the sheriff in Florida wouldn't fly his flag at half-mast for Nelson Mandela because he said he didn't sacrifice anything for this country, and that should be reserved for the veterans and people who sacrificed for this nation, not some alien foreigner. And I agree with him on that.
Well,
we treat our troops bad right now.
You can go by St. Nicholas, or you can go by Kris Kringle, which was, I believe, was from it's just attacking a culture. It's tearing down the culture.
I mean, come on. Why should the kids? I mean, this is voiced towards kids. Why should
they want the kids looking at the government as if they are Santa Claus.
They want the
people and the kids looking at the government as if they are God. All loyalty belongs to the collective. You don't owe no loyalty to your neighbor, to your family, children, to anything. You owe your loyalty to the collective. That is Agenda 21. That is what they hope to accomplish, and that is what they are after. We see it every day in everything we look at.
People can read that in Revelation.
I brought up something, was talking to a couple of guys the last 3 days. They were telling me some things, and I asked a question. If man had never, ever used the fossil fuel, where would the environment be right now? And a lot of people don't think about that. But you've got to realize, if you truthfully look at it, have you ever seen a tar pit? Have you ever seen an oil sludge in a field? Ground is just so soaked with oil. There's some places where you walk up and the smell, because you know there's gas leaking out from under the ground. Now imagine if you never took any of those things out of from under the ground. What disaster would you be setting the world up for? Because we've taken billions and millions and trillions of gallons of oil out of the ground. We've taken billions and billions of pounds of gas out of the ground. If you didn't take all this, aren't you basically setting up the planet to be a one-time explosion? You're making a giant bomb?
You humongous IED.
Hey, not only did I see an article where he said they were allowed to shoot bald eagles now. What the heck is about that? That is crap.
Bald eagles. In virals, you know, the wind turbines and stuff, they do kill eagles.
Well, that's a different story. They're flying and accidentally getting hit. But the ball, just to pull up a gun and shoot an eagle, that's bullcrap. That's our state and our country bird.
I see a little you know what the new one's going to be? It's going to be a skunk, white, black, and it's going to be just like it is. The government stinks everything they say.
Well, as we've seen recently, and it's been well documented recently, they have no problems lying to you if it serves their purpose.
No, they don't.
They use the Alinsky thing with the health care. I mean, you can't say Obama didn't use Alinsky there. He kept telling you the lie.
You perpetrated
his lie until you believed it was truth, and then in the end you find out it was a bald-faced lie.
You still have people out there saying that, if you like your health care, you can keep it. I'm still hearing that.
Man.
No, that's just ridiculous. We know better than that.
Well, you can if you can, but you're going to have to pay 3 times as much to keep it. the budget plan. You don't want to know what I think of the budget plan. But I was there watching Jeff Sessions today as he was battling this thing for the veterans and stuff. And you've got to come to the conclusion, and you hear some Democrats talk this back, we've got to start holding these people accountable for the ignorance. I mean, I know ignorance is self-inflicted, but we've got too many sitting in our office that are overdosing.
Yeah, because you can't fix stupid.
I mean,
there's no morals there anymore.
You've got Colburn puts out a thing, $30 billion in wasted spending, and here we are screwing with the veterans.
But I bet their government's
Kerry hasn't. Kerry goes over and promises several million to Vietnam to fight global warming.
That's bullcrap. Why are they our tax money for global warming while we know what is a crock of crap? It makes no sense.
The problem with our house, Linda, is they've never tried to stop spending.
I don't know.
Spending, spending, spending. It's all about spending. So we're going to take from the soldiers in order that we can spend more on what?
Here,
other countries.
The tariffs, guns, and what about the snow? What was it in Egypt? What about that snow in Egypt?
Well, you know it cost them $20,000 for a handle, right?
I saw the picture. Somebody's ass got snowed on in Egypt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know it cost them $20,000 for a hammer?
And they're saying over 60-some% of you guys.
That's what they write down. Come on, that's what they write down. Everything they spend, they over-exaggerate and put the rest of it in their pocket.
Well, that's all. They either do that or they're filtering money to their supporters' pockets. Just who are the navigators?
like when they're promising Great Lakes water to the Chinese, see? I mean, come on.
Well, that Great Lakes water, I think that's a mutual concept there because it actually belongs to us and Canada.
Yeah.
Did you get Canada's permission to sell their water?
Heck no. They think they're entitled to everything people's got.
Yes, Hillary is bringing charges, getting charges brought up to her in Egypt for her collaborations with the Muslim Brotherhood.
You had it about right.
And that's got to make you wonder, if she was collaborating with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, is that why she denied extra security and pulled some security away from Benghazi? Was she aiding the Muslim Brotherhood then too? And are we still aiding the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria and other places? Why are we aiding the Muslim Brotherhood? They're terrorists.
Because we have the Muslim commander-in-chief.
That's right. Our president is a Muslim. My niece was telling me about, I don't know how, about the Christmas tree. The White House, they had the White House take the Christmas tree out. So,
nothing surprises. Nothing surprises. I see the poll numbers, and it'll show Obama's approval rating, and it's the lowest it's ever been. But I'm looking at it and thinking, how the hell could it be that high?
Explain this to me. How is our currency still swing the In God We Trust on it?
Oh, but believe me, they're trying to get that off of there.
Because we're fighting to keep it?
I've never seen no controversy on that.
Well,
oh, you do. There has been. I've seen it about a month ago. I seen they were griping about it. About the same time, they started griping about the Pledge of Allegiance again.
Well, I sure do believe if they put the Ten Commandments back in the school and start teaching them kids, you know, that stuff's wrong, we would lose a lot of this bullying and violence.
Yeah, and being honest, the Ten Commandments.
That's where it's coming.
That follows. Yeah, that's what the Constitution was based on.
We haven't passed that knowledge down to our generation because
you have this ideology come out there and say, well, you got to quit punishing kids because that way it helps them to be able to brainwash.
That's where we went wrong.
The indoctrination of our youth and stuff in this nation has been overwhelming, and I'm happy when I stand up and I see a poll come out of Harvard where Harvard students are against Obamacare and don't trust him. The polls show it. I'm thinking, well, maybe somebody, there is some hope. Maybe the young and the youth will wake up. But it's going to take more young people getting involved and more young people speaking out because but there are those that are waking up. And, you know, we have young people come over here and we sit them down and we talk.
Oh, yeah. It's like my niece, she's woke up. She actually is paying attention. And she was blowing me away just by the things that she was saying. I was like, cool. And this is my 17-year-old niece.
Well, when children wake up, when the young people wake up and realize everything that's being done is just adding a huge debt onto their backs that they're going to have to pay for, which means they're either going to be taxed, freedoms and liberties taken away, whatever. But they're losing out because of the way this has all went.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that you're going to see a driving force when people are seeing that the Tea Party and the establishment GOP are not nowhere near the same thing.
No.
They realize that. They see that we're battling them just as much as we are the them.
It's the we the people. It's the American people that is tired of the bullcrap. That's what the Tea Party is. Taxed enough already. Enough's enough. And it's not just the taxes,
it's regulations,
it's a tax on Christianity, it's a tax on our culture. I can go on and
back
on.
To my donut.
Oh, yeah, sweet. I want to go there.
They want to tell me what I can and can't eat. They want to tell me where I can and can't live. They want to tell me who I can associate and who I can't associate with. They want to tell me who I got to bow down to.
How far I can drive.
Yep, they're going to tax us by the mile.
How much rainwater falls in my daggone yard?
How much water I use flushing my toilet? How long I shower I take?
How much?
What is the temperature on inside my house?
Well, then you go, like my brother, he has some goats. Well, just because the goats breathe, oh my goodness, you're going to get taxed for that too.
Well, if we're going to tax somebody for breathing, it should be our Congress and the White House.
Did I dream this or did I not see on TV the other day where they're thinking about putting a black box on every new automobile?
Yeah.
That way they can track you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's taxed you, but they tax you by the mile.
Mm-hmm. That's
part of their global warming scam, tax you by the mile.
So all of us that don't have new vehicles are going to have to pay money to have that installed.
Yeah, yeah.
And get taxed on that.
I'm glad he installed that in my car.
Well,
yeah, some places already have them. I agree.
Oh, yeah. Well, OnStar and all that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can have that turned off. You can take that out.
We're already, I mean. Yeah, GPS. Wrong, you know, as I know, you can look any place up on a map. Satellite view and shine down on it. Well,
even on cell phones.
Yeah. So they can actually, you can't tell me that if they can spot my property on a map that they can't watch and surveil you. The whole idea that they want to take away every freedom, any kind of privacy, they've got to get out of you having any kind of privacy, because if you have privacy, you might get together and talk about the bullshit they're doing against you.
That's what they don't want. They don't want everybody to unite to find out what kind of bullcrap and everything they're trying to pull, trying to shove down our throats, trying to, how you say, immoralize our kids by letting, you know what I'm saying, putting queers and stuff kissing all over TV, and our little kids have to watch that crap.
Well,
or close down our church because, oh, it's offensive, or how did they say that? Slander is a hate crime.
If you preach what the Word of God says about gays, it's a hate crime.
I was asked the other day.
We're seeing, it's a total attack on our whole entire culture. It's not just Christian religion that's being attacked. You look overseas and you see that any religion that's not Islamic is being attacked.
Oh, yeah.
I'm weird rod. I should throw the TV out the door.
Well, some of it, yes. Some of it you can, if not, you wouldn't find out.
Well, I have to watch the Senate and the Congress to know what they're doing, because otherwise, You never know.
Because I would rather find the facts out from the horse's mouth itself. You know what I'm saying? Not through no computer or really TV. I want to see government in power.
You don't want to go back to Little House of the Prairie days. Hey,
I'm
the type of person that would survive and live like that.
And I'm sorry that
I'd love to live like that. I'd like to take my picture family, get out somewhere so far in the boonies and build our own little community and bring and instill morals in the children and teach the children and grow our own food and take care of ourselves, which it did. But as you've seen, people who go live off the grid get attacked. Well, in Florida, she's living off the grid. Now they're suing her. We had it happen here in Clarksville, Indiana. We had a guy living off the grid in the city, and all of them went after him.
I think if you can live off the grid and successfully do it, you know what I'm saying? Having a restroom that you can use, outhouse or whatever, a good restroom, you have electric somehow, you've got a way to keep food, you're clean, and there shouldn't be no problem out of it. They should get their nose out of it. If you're sitting in human waste and hillbilly crap.
The woman actually had a legal septic system.
But if it's illegal and...
She had a legal septic system. She had a legal...
I applaud her. Good job.
And, but they just, they can't have that. They've got to be in control. They've got to have you paying them.
Well, see, just like they were finding out on the, you got the windmills or the turbines. Then you've got the
solar panels.
Well, they're finding out that ain't as good as what they thought, because you've got, when the shade comes over, you're not producing enough energy. And then on the turbines, the wind stops, it's stopping. I seen a special on the other day about that.
Hey. Hello, guest.
Hi, Linda. Hey. How are you?
How are you guys doing? There's just so much to digest. It's not even funny. There was another post when you're talking about the turbines and the solar panels, and I get into these debates over electricity and efficient electricity or power or energy and the cheapness of the old ways, which are good. And of course, nobody in this sickening tyrannical government. Somebody's calling me on Skype, and I don't know who, but I can hear it, and I can't answer it. So hopefully they'll stop.
Jeff's trying to feed us.
Well, Rob, why put all the restrictions on it, Chad? If a guy is warm and happy and a pile of crap, so be it. Not from our business.
Maybe.
If it's not affecting anybody else, if it's not draining over, or he's not, I don't know. You have to watch certain things. You don't want him coming out there and giving you creeping, crawling crud or something.
Yeah. I understand.
Here's a thought. Maybe the government's just trying to get rid of people that know how to survive. That way they make the society dependent upon the government.
That's what they're trying to do. They would like to do that.
Exactly. Well, that's part of their Agenda 21.
Yeah. One of the things today I heard is the guy who actually put out the anarchist cookbook wants it taken down. He wants it out. And not nobody publishing it and distributing it anymore, but he don't have the rights to it anymore. And the big bookmakers, I guess, booksellers are still selling it.
Yeah, they're saying that all these school shootings, some of that cookbook's been linked to them.
Yeah.
And their doings, and he's feeling remorseful about that.
One thing on them school shootings, I think them kids needed a good butt whooping at the beginning.
I think that,
there you go.
At the very beginning, before all this crap started, and the adults should have had the responsibility to put the guns up in a safe place, put trigger locks or something like that on there. There is what they call gun safety. But it makes no sense, because they took the punishment of the kids, us punishing our kids away, so now they just think they can run over top of everybody, do what they want to do, and that they don't, nothing can be done to them. That's where we've done wrong, my people.
I had the right to do whatever she told me to do.
Well, then again, you know, like I said, it's back to how they're using the kids, and they use the generational against the next older generation and such, and they'll keep continuing to do that until they get a generation they can totally control those.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, violent opinion for the collective.
But that's why we're such a big threat, because we're pushing and exposing them to this younger class and everybody else and opening their eyes up, and a lot of people saying, whoa, you got to be kidding me. They're trying to tax me for rainwater? They're trying to, what? Go ahead, Larry.
I had a friend over the other day, and it was kind of funny. We were talking about this, and the person said, you know, she raises her hand up in front of him. She says, there's two ways to teach people. It's called wave your hand left to right and say respect and discipline. That's gone away a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying
teach
your kid.
Now, no, but here, understand, games. Wally, Chad, and I are four of us sitting here in the state of Indiana, where it is still legal to spank your child.
Spank, that's the word. Not smack, not beat, not...
There's also such a thing as taking away privileges.
Yep.
Take away your damn game box or whatever, throw it out in the yard.
And I've got a boy and girl in there. They're pretty good acting kids, really.
Linda and Ron have been around Chad's kids. I hope they were respectful. If they weren't,
they would get their butt whooped when our dad got home. Because daddy don't play that way. I was grown up where there was respect for your elders, respect for just other human beings. I mean, even when you pass somebody, raising your hand and waving at people, there ain't no big deal about that. Hi, good morning. But then you got some of these people, what they think they're too good to raise their hand, people.
But I don't think it's that far.
I don't even know these people just to be friendly. I don't even know them. Hey, how are you doing? Good morning.
Well, that's the way it used to be, and that's the way it should be. Look, you gotta go back through and look at the history of all this nonsense. On every subject talking about, you know, with the Dr. Spock nonsense and all the Ritalin and the psychiatrist, this goes back quite a few decades, and I do believe it's all part of their plan to dumb people down, take away, you know, turn the state into the nanny state, make sure that everybody's cradle to grave taken care of by, you know, Big Brother, because that's where it's headed. I mean, look what's going on with those people in Boston's Children's Hospital. They're losing rights for their children. Their natural rights for no goddamn reason. And these hospitals have too much power, and then they get the state involved, whether it's the court system or the Child Protective Service team, which to me, if there was anybody out there worth their salt and wanted to do it pro bono, I'd own that damn hospital by the time everything was said and done. This is ridiculous.
You look what just happened. A woman's child went in for a call for election. Dead. Now they're taking their own life. Also, the other kids that's eating that field that gives them man boobs.
So,
we got another.
You know, and then you're taking away the parents' rights to everything, to spank the children, and especially these libtard states where I'm at. You know, the whole thing is ridiculous. And then you've got Manny Bloomturd, Mayor McFascist, and I don't even know when communist Bill de Blasio takes over. Can you imagine that mess? They've taken away your rights for every single thing, what you feed your child, what you feed yourself. It's insane. And once there's any talk of compromise on the table, you've lost it. I don't care if it's the First Amendment or the Second. You do not compromise with these people, because they'll take it from you.
Compromise to the Democratic Party means they get their 100% of their way.
Well, or any
fascist.
We have another caller.
Caller, go ahead. Go ahead on. Error code 812.
Are you there?
Are you there, caller?
Yep.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine and dandy. I just want to tell you guys, I'm listening, and when it comes to you spanking your children, big no-no. We were told in our house by Child Protective Services, you cannot discipline your child. Okay, let them pack their bags and go to the government, let the government take care of them like they're trying to do.
Yeah, you're right. Let them.
Amen. I hear you.
So the government, you're not having children. You're not having children anymore, you know, for heirlooms and inheritances. You're having children nowadays, so the government can give them a number and take care of it that way.
Pay them taxes. Keep that money coming in.
Exactly.
Serve the elite. Yeah,
so,
we've got a generation that's grinning from ear to ear as they're running face first to being enslaved by the elitists of the globe.
Well, some of them's waking up. Some of them saying, hey, wait a minute now. We've got to pay this crap.
Well, we the people as a society have a responsibility to have a sense of government, who we're putting in office, and be a little bit more involved. You know, that's part of
I think if we raised our kids the right way, if we could raise our kids the right way, we could have a future in politics.
Amen.
Yes.
But
Amen.
As we go
yes.
now, the future politicians are telling us what to do when they're 13, 14, 15 years old.
Yes.
Well, a lot of your future politicians are nothing but an inheritor of a grandfather or a father who was a politician.
And has money.
Teaching kids to be politicians, what they leave out is teaching them how to be humans and how to look out for their fellow man.
You can't teach that anymore because the government is right in your household telling you how to raise your kids.
Well, that's part of Agenda 21, it is. It is in the health care bill. It was written in there that they could come in to see what you're teaching your kids and to tell you how and what you should teach your kids.
I think they need to get their nose out of that.
Well, government's in too much of our business.
Oh,
you guys
yeah.
have a good night.
You too.
You too.
Thank you for calling.
You too. Thank you for calling. Call again.
If the government was so good with education and stuff, we wouldn't be trailing Asia as far as we do in scholastic abilities, and we wouldn't be catering to an even less educated group by bringing in all these illegals.
Well, you know, look, I don't know the lady caller's name, who she was, but, you know, what we've got to do is people just are abdicating their own responsibility, and we don't understand what the Ninth and Tenth Amendment means. Our rights and all of this stuff that we're dealing with. This is ultimately power rests with us, not even the state you live in, but you and your local community, not the federal government. Those SOBs, and nobody understands this from the worrying about the people taking down the cross in Soledad, which we're fighting here, to trying to confiscate your guns, telling you this, that, and the other, what you can do with your kids, stuffing people on Ritalin and forcing medicines down their throats. This is nonsense. When are people going to stop complying with this nonsense? Stand up for what rights you have left, or you're going to lose every damn one of them. I'm done. It's time for a friggin' revolution. I'm done with these people. I've had it.
That old Joe and three college kids. One standing on his head, the other two holding him up. One standing on his head doing a keg stand, and up above it says, "Got insurance?"
Oh, these people, they're shameless whores. Just shameless.
We have a culture where most people have to put in so many times, so many hours a day at work and stuff. They don't get the chance to sit down and talk with their kids or relate to their kids. Yeah, I know my wife working 7 days a week sure does break down the family.
It's hard.
Oh, yeah, that's hard.
You know.
And after a year and
when that happens, that makes that leaves an opening for the government to step in and indoctrinate your kids into what they want.
Sure.
That's why
eventually you got to know.
That's why when your kids get home, you ask them about what they've learned during the day, and you look at their books or whatever.
Eventually, you got to know. It's going to come down to that when your child's born, every decision for their future will be made at that moment by the government as to what that child will grow up to be. Whatever they have a need for.
That's it.
You will fill that slot.
Well, hold on a minute, guys. Hey, Anybody that's listening or in the chat room, come on, call in. We'd love to hear from you. Number 646-378-0321. Guys are all welcome to call in.
We've become too dependent upon a government, so that's a failure. And instead of being a part of the system and doing our parts, for years we were just going about our ways while they were fought and putting everything into place, and now here we are awake, and we're trying to stop what they've had years on us to advance.
Yes, they've got a big machine, too, and it stinks. They are so overbloated. I'm going to cover some of that tomorrow because when you talk about waste, fraud, and abuse and the spending and the departments and just huge amounts of money, astronomical, and, of course, with this idiotic budget deal, nobody, and I don't think they ever will until it just completely bankrupts itself. They will never touch charity, Medicare, and Medicaid. They just won't do it. I don't know how long this bubble is going to keep going on. I mean, if Ron has any ideas, if he's still in there. I don't know what's happening, and I just know that everybody's predicting by 2015, it's not going to last. So
I don't see how it
can. They're suspended for hugging.
The what?
What about the little first grader that got the sexual charge for kissing his little girl on the hand at school? That
you know what?
Crushed.
Every time I see these, I know. Every time I see these stories, I keep posting, "Get your children out of these hellish schools." What are you doing?
Put that in perspective. They put this little picture out there of the kid who kissed some girl's hand, and they're going to expel him and all this and that, charge him with sexual predator. And then someone puts a picture of Bill Clinton out there.
On the radio, what?
Whenever there was a sexual predator, Bill Clinton.
And he's getting an American Freedom Award. Yeah. Uh-huh. I know.
Well, now Bill, you got to remember, that kid was a repeat offender.
Hi, Ron. How are you? I was getting ready to say another caller.
Unbelievable.
I mean, that was not the first time he kissed that little girl.
I mean,
6 years old or not, he's obviously a sexual predator.
Oh, it's sickening.
If it had been a little boy, it would have been okay.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
It's upside down.
I mean, seriously, think about it. It really would.
Right, Ron. It would have been.
And, you know, I mean, well, I won't get that graphic. I was going to say they could be swapping spit, and they would think that was just damn dandy. It's completely retarded. And this whole thing, and I wanted to cover this last night, but unfortunately, you know, Mikey showed up and the timing just didn't work out, so I wanted to spend a little time with him. But, you know, this debt deal should not be a surprise to anyone. I mean, it should not be a surprise at all. Boehner did exactly what I expected him to do. You know, the one time this guy shows some glimmer of hope that he actually has a spinal column, and he's lashing out at the very people that are representing a conservative ideology in our government, a smaller government. The whole point of this budget deal was to get rid of the sequester, get rid of all the things that they automatic reduction in increased spending, that is
right.
The sequester cuts, if you can call those cuts, get that off the table, get some backdoor tax increases in. We can't mess with Granny's Social Security because right now that's a third rail, you know, so we can't cut them. So, hey, let's cut the disabled vets and the veterans that are retired. You know, screw them anyway. They always get the shaft. Meanwhile, we've got a 35% increase in food stamp spending, but we did cut that back by I think, like, what was it, 3% or something here recently.
Jeez.
The point is that the $1 trillion a year that the Federal Reserve is doing in QE, whatever, it's not enough, guys. It's not enough. You have currently, in the last 17 months, the amount of interest on 10-year treasury bonds has doubled.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So it hit damn near 3% again the other day, and they're terrified. So the only way to keep that interest rate artificially low is they've got to just throw gobs and gobs of money into the economy. So it's damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, spend at all costs.
So this is, and of course, hell, then they don't even have to write the taxes in there. Of course, they're going to double down on us. The hidden tax of inflation is all over the place. Has anyone been to the supermarket lately? Holy
well, sure.
God.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, there's something else that happened Monday that I promise you you've not heard about, and it's a huge deal. Two of the largest exchanges, stock markets, outside of the United States just
right.
merged.
Oh, my God.
Singapore and Hong Kong, and they've agreed to settle accounts in the Chinese renminbi or the yuan.
Wonderful.
Wow.
That represents 8%.
Sure.
Guys, I'm telling you, the stars are lining up one after another after another mm-hmm. after another. China in 2013 has imported over 2,000 tons of gold. That is
yep.
the total production, worldwide production, for an entire year.
Jesus. Oh, they know this dollar's going to go away.
They are actively working towards those ends.
Well,
yeah,
so
the only people who haven't figured it out is our general population inside this contiguous United States.
Yep.
Good
well,
God.
Linda, we all know that one of the pillars of Agenda 21 is the destruction of the economy.
Yep.
And you've got to do it in such a way that there's no way for it to bounce back at any chance at all of it.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, so, all right, besides getting out their MRAPs and controlling the people, what are they planning on doing with the reset, or will there be one?
I don't think they're going to have one. I really don't.
Well, I think you're going to have a reset, but it's not.
You'll have a global currency.
Well, you have one now.
You have one now, but I don't think it's going to. I don't know.
The U.S. dollar and crude oil, that's your global currency.
Well, yeah, but how okay,
China,
but why are the other...
China is positioning itself to
right.
dethrone the U.S. dollar.
Right.
And I think you're going to see, at least for a short period of time, a gold currency or a gold-backed currency.
Right. Because everybody that's buying gold, and there's several, I think it was Iran, China, and I heard Japan, and possibly Saudis. I don't know about them because they were the original red line agreement with this petrodollar, right?
They love gold.
I mean,
the Saudis do.
Yeah. What I'm saying is all these other people are trading in other currencies for oil rather than the U.S. dollar. They've already been doing it. I mean, anyone's upholding it.
If you look at this stupid-ass agreement that we've supposedly entered into with Iran that hasn't been finalized yet, the underlying point, if
mm-hmm.
you go and read the details of that agreement, is it frees up $400 billion, but Iran can only sell oil for the dollar.
Oh, that's why. I see. Wow.
Now, has anyone seen the movie White House Down?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
I thought it was quite interesting. I saw the other White House Down type movie called Olympus Has Fallen, but I watched this White House Down the other night, and it is definitely left-wing propaganda. But I found it interesting, the president in the movie is black, which I didn't really care one way or another about that, but it gives you an image of who they're talking about.
Right.
And everyone's got their undies in a bunch.
Go ahead.
Everybody's got their undies in a bunch in the movie because the president comes out and announces that he's just signed a historic deal with the newly elected president of Iran.
Dang.
And that movie is 6 months old.
I'm sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. I got two new callers. Go ahead, call it. Talk. Who are you? 770 area code, 111 area code. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
I don't want to talk. I just want to listen and laugh at you guys. You can put me back on mute. I never
hello, Mr. Hello, Mr. Beasley.
I don't want to talk. I like to listen. I need some comic relief this afternoon. But you can put me back
on
mute. Thank you.
Oh God. I just hang up on it, but
I think I just did by accident. But sorry.
Good.
I have another error code 770.
He can laugh all he wants, but they're marching his butts to the same ends they're marching our butts.
Yeah, he's going to be in the same problem.
770 is me.
The only difference is he don't understand.
Well, that's
it. Then I'm sorry, guys. Hi, Martha. 623.
Hi. Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Welcome.
Thank you. I just thought I'd chime in, see how everybody is.
Doing well. How about yourself?
Well,
I was going to call earlier, but a neighbor came over and just left, so sorry.
We're just letting it out.
What's the topic?
Every day, every week, it's just overwhelming because they're coming at us from all sides with all different kinds of ignorance. We're headed towards idiocracy at a warp speed.
Yo says, hey.
Hey. Well... Anybody, I mean, the procedures that Ron and Linda were talking about there, I mean, and Ron's way more up on the financial stuff and what's coming on that way. I'll be honest, I kind of don't even try to go there because Ron, I get my information from him. I trust him that he's looked into things. And I, that just like I trust these guys I'm sitting here with, I trust my neighbors, I trust my family. But I can't find a reason to trust my government. Not one. I can't trust people to try to take away from the children of this nation. I can't trust someone who's trying to destroy the very fabric and culture of the nation. I can't trust someone who's financially inappropriate to be dealing with finances. That's the boat we're in. I feel a lot of us probably feel that way, that, you know, the government is the last people we're going to trust.
Nah, Bill, they just want you to be equal.
And fair.
Equal to who?
And fair. Poverty.
Poverty, yeah, they want you to be equal to poverty. There you go.
You know, I still say, You can't determine how much desire a person has inside of you. You can try to instill desire to a child. But with the kind of teaching that the schools do today, they're taking away that desire and telling you it's okay to be mediocre. You don't need to put out an effort to be better or to do better or to be successful.
That's Hegelian philosophy.
Yeah.
There is no right or wrong. There's only how you feel.
I don't know how you guys feel out there, but I feel like, you know, before I can't stand by as a human being and watch what they're trying to do to our children without standing
okay.
up. Okay. Wait a minute.
Prime example, that kid that got off on the Ford desk drunk driving, his mother... According to what I've been reading, is one of these, if it feels good, do it. With no discipline.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
It's pervasive.
It's so pervasive
in the culture now, it's scary.
Well, and the
nobody
thing
wants
is,
to
the
take
court,
responsibility.
The court just turns around and facilitates the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And no one wants to take responsibility.
No consequence.
They got money.
No
that's what it's all about.
I think we see those kinds, that kind of justice in our local community pretty regularly, where a certain group that is elitist type will get special privileges when it comes to a court.
Always.
And,
well, you know,
well,
talking about the responsibility, I think that that's why the culture back in the 1700s and 1800s was that the whole idea was
to get away
you
from
know, maximum freedom requires maximum responsibility.
Yes.
And they were talking about individual freedom and individual responsibility. There was no collective in this deal because these poor guys, I mean, how many years they had to live under tyranny, they knew what it was like firsthand. It was no picnic, I'm sure.
Correct. It's the idea of universal liberty, what Jefferson talked about. And I know people say he was a hypocrite because he had slaves. Fine. But he at least was able to verbalize
and acknowledge
the concept and acknowledge it. Correct.
Right.
He and he did do something about it on his death. In his will, his slaves were left until his wife died, and then they were all free.
Equal opportunity slavery.
Well, we're all slaves now.
He started it.
We've got.
Well, yeah, he was a pretty cool dude.
Well,
but
and I,
now we're,
you know, and I think you end up, and we've had this conversation before, when you start talking about Jefferson being a slaveholder or slave owner, and you look towards the treatment of these people that were slaves under Jefferson or under Washington, you know, you almost are in the position of defending the ownership of a human being because they clearly treated the people in their custody quite well by the standards of the day for slaves. But that
right,
not,
I mean,
excuse
they, all
it.
Had a home, they all had a job and they all had food to eat.
Well, and imagine yourself as Jefferson, where you find that you've inherited 125 human beings. In the setting that you're in,
mm-hmm.
in the 1700s, are you doing them a favor by setting them free and saying, okay, go on, no, you know, go fight, make your own way?
Not
at
culture.
That point, no, because
no.
they were unable
that's
to because they
wrap them up and make them a slave and treat them like hell.
Exactly. So, I mean, not trying to make excuses for
right.
Jefferson, but at the same
right.
time, I mean, you know, we can't walk that mile because we're not in his shoes.
Exactly.
And that time has passed, and we can all agree that slavery and the concept of owning another human being as property is just dead wrong.
And it's still going
horrible.
On.
Yes, it is still going on, unfortunately.
Yes. Everywhere.
That happens in the physical sense, and also, as we've talked about as well, in the monetary sense, look how far we've evolved into debt slaves. I love the book that Hayek wrote 80 years ago, said the road to serfdom, road to hell, we're in it. We are serfs. That's
well, I mean,
the way
how
I see it.
You look at the average person who, I was reading some statistics from the CBO, if you take a person that earns $30,000 a year as a family, and you look at the subsidies that are available,
mm-hmm.
Their after-tax income, after refunds and whatnot, yeah. on average, now this isn't everybody, but an average, is like $58,210. You take a person that makes $235,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
The services that they get from government, roughly $6,500. They pay in income tax $58,000 and change. So their total net at the end of the year is like $181,000. So that person is working about 3 or 4 months a year
mm-hmm.
for pay that they don't receive. Because it goes
right.
to the government. Last I checked, working without compensation is slavery.
Slavery.
Sure is.
Whether it's a month,
it's servitude.
6 months, 4 months,
yep.
What does it matter?
Yeah, exactly. What? Yeah, how do you want to define this? Oh, my gosh. It's just unbelievable. I know. Like I said, time to revolt. I don't know what this is going to look like, but that's why I keep preparing as best I can.
Well, now that the government is starting to debit people's accounts unwittingly, now if these people decide to close their accounts so it doesn't happen again and then they open the new one, the feds are going to go after them because they closed their accounts and they want their money.
They're going to get their money.
Oh, they'll find ways.
So then they'll track them down
in
their new accounts.
Don't open a new account.
Yes, and then they'll track them down there.
The bank.
And then they'll track them down there and start doing it all over again. I wouldn't go near that site if you paid me $1 million.
You know
what's
funny? For me, I had a customer, a lady customer, call me today out of the blue. She had come in my store about a month ago, and she was just very pleased with our interaction, and I made her feel very comfortable. And so she was. She works in the financial services sector. And her company is holding an open house, and she wanted to invite me to attend that because she thinks I'll be good at that job. And I thought, lady, if you only knew, if you only had a clue who you're talking to, but that's okay. So her and I are meeting the Thursday after Christmas for a coffee just to kind of discuss things before I commit to going to some open house. So this could be interesting.
Wow.
That might be fun, too.
Oh, God, I'd have a ball.
Yeah.
Wow.
You'd be networking all over the place.
Oh, my gosh.
What kind of open house is it?
Well, I don't know.
Is it a spec house or a business or what?
Oh, no, it's a business. I mean, they're soliciting me to come work in, financial services. I don't know exactly what that entails or what sector of the financial services they're in.
It means being at a desk forever.
I think it's probably more, I imagine anyway, probably more soliciting clients for investment type thing, I would think, but who knows?
So, telephone ear?
Now, who knows? Oh, well, I'm good at that, so should I
know.
All that? I could probably talk an Eskimo into buying a snow cone, but...
There you go.
But when it comes to the financial instruments, I don't know that my heart's really in it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, man.
Or do you mind selling
Well, you're
your soul
always thing? Following the money. Here you go.
Well, exactly. But, see, I'm kind of against a lot of what they do in their financial instruments.
Sure.
Oh, I see. Well, that ought to be interesting.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
She may decide she's sorry she invited you.
Well, every time, I get pitched some of this stuff, I sit and listen, and I'm looking through the material, and I'm always looking for the hook. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So what's the catch?
Sure.
What's the bottom line? Where's the hook? And it's usually pretty obvious.
Yep.
Well, that'll be interesting to hear about after it happens.
Absolutely. So, Chad, you don't think I should just knock the daylights out of my kid when he gets out of line and, calls his mother a bad name and he's 6'3" and weighs 300 pounds? I'm not hitting him with a belt. I'm going to bust him right in the mouth.
That's a different story.
I'm kind of glad.
I know. I'm just funny.
Oh, I know you are.
None of my boys ever got to be a
student. Now, there's some kids.
I always let them know that Mama is the judge. She makes the laws. And whatever she says, Dad is the sheriff. And Dad is court.
Now, I read an article.
We had three kids at home. They thought we needed everything to a vote.
and I informed them that they were wrong. They did not. This household was not a democracy. It was
dictatorship.
A dictatorship.
Did you guys see that one article?
Well, I just tell them until they're 18 and out on their own, they don't get a vote.
You know, I mean, in all
what they say makes no difference. They're going to do what they have to do. And I gave my 7-year-old grandson, he kept giving me a hard time about cleaning out the dishwasher. And I finally gave him a Gibbs swat on the back of the head. Got his attention.
Well, you know, my kids, when they were little, they needed a lot more discipline than they did as they got older.
Yeah.
And it was very rare, I mean extremely rare, that I would even have to actually get the belt out. And usually that's all it took was the sight
to
of the
threat.
Belt.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Just the threat of you're going to get a spanking.
Well,
Anthony
knows that
into,
I can... Anthony remembers the one time I sat on him. I didn't press down, but he was throwing a tantrum at my house one time on a visit. So I sat on him till he stopped. And he remembers that. So when he turned 7 last month, he said, "Grandma, you can't sit on me anymore." And I said, "Watch me." And sure enough, last week I gave him this back of the head swat, and he was done with those dishes in about 7 minutes.
Now I read an article. I read an article where a guy took his daughter's laptop. Matter of fact, he showed it on YouTube. What she done was she was typing in behind him back and telling how his parents were so bad and the maid was so terrible that she had to do everything and blah blah blah. And this guy worked with computers, so he knew how to get into her password, and he went into it because it was pasted on Facebook, and he took it out in the yard, and he says, I've warned you, and this is what we've decided to do about it. And he took a .38 and he shot it 2 times. He said, one's from me and one's from your mom. He says, and I just put all these upgrades and stuff and said, now, when you can pay for a new laptop and pay me back for all the stuff that I put into your laptop I just shot, then you can have one back. Other than that, this is how I'm going to discipline you this time. And he said that all the stuff that she said, like she said she had to do all the dishes and stuff, and all she had to really do was just keep the counters clean and empty the dishwasher. It was nothing that was major, you know. And he said they got tired of it, so they took it out, and he shot it twice. One was from him, and one was from the mom. Now that's one way to do it.
After that, she listened, right?
I bet she did, because she didn't have no lap. He said, and all her friends, you won't be seeing her for a while. On Facebook.
Yep.
As a child, I knew my mom or dad, either one, was going to tell me something once. If they had to tell me something twice, I was probably going to get a swap. And if they had to tell me a third time, oh, hell.
When we were growing up, you always knew when you were in trouble, when they used your middle name.
I learned.
Yeah.
You learn that, hey, got one warning.
Well, if you're smart, you learn.
Yes.
That's right. Yep. If you're smart, you learn.
Some of them are a little more stubborn than others.
Anthony's really stubborn.
You always knew when I was in trouble, she would use the middle name. She would use the whole name, not just Lonnie. It was the whole name.
My daughter's like that. If she gets mad at one of the kids, the whole name comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And whoever it is turning and looking and like, ooh, do I duck or do I run or what?
It's like damn, God.
Harvey Oswald, you know.
I think Mr. Beasley got mad at us. She got off.
Kids are so funny.
As a kid, when my dad talked to you, listen, you can ask Lonnie. He grew up next door to us there. Not only did I listen, every kid in the neighborhood listened when Dad talked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
That's the way it works. It's called respect.
That's the way it was. We listen to our elders.
It's called respect and a healthy fear.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Fear was more.
Survival,
fear was
more.
That's
the thing.
Survival of the fittest.
That's right. I think the fear was there to make sure that you learned to respect or you were going to get it.
Yes.
Well, and the thing was, you know, honestly, the thing was that the fear, it was there, but it was for a purpose, and it wasn't just because, you know, your parents could, because they were dictators and they could just be mean to you. It's because
right.
they wanted you to be a decent human being, and they wanted you to learn proper social interaction and responsibility so that
yeah.
later in life you would be a decent human being and not be a scumbag.
Yeah,
exactly the way it should be put.
Your negative actions. That helps you out when you get older. You don't want to break the law as much as you know there's repercussions.
I am so ashamed of this, of my generation and what it has done. Starting with the PC
yep.
back there in the 70s, and then the schools, the dumbing down, and now here we are.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, not all of your generation, not all of
no,
my
but
generation.
We got the ball rolling.
Well, there's yeah. you know, there's plenty of problems to go around, and I just don't believe that as divided as this country is, even among conservatives, and I think if you look at what's going on in the Republican Party right now, it's just part and parcel to the whole damn country. You know, used to be there was the idea that Reagan said, thou shalt not speak ill of a fellow Republican. Well, hell, they're just, you know, slinging it and backstabbing each other left and right up there, and there's a small handful of guys that are trying to do the right thing. And I think that's the way the whole country is. That's certainly how I feel at this point, that we're a small little group of people that we know what the right thing is, and the rest of them have lost their ever-loving minds. If they ever had them to begin with,
if they
they're
ever
like
had
gone.
This
is why I say, go turn on, you know, AMC, The Walking Dead, and look at all the zombies, because that's what I see when I look out in public on a daily basis is a bunch of damn zombies.
Yes.
They have no soul. They have nothing. There's nothing between their
they're
ears.
They're empty. Yeah, they're empty.
And you know what's so bad about that, Ron? You know, you make a comment about zombies. There's a lot of people out there that think that's what's going to happen, and they're preparing for it, that there's just going to be zombies.
Let me clue you in on the zombie apocalypse, okay, because I'm definitely in what you would call the gun culture. The zombie apocalypse is a tongue-in-cheek way for all the guys out there that understand that things could get really, really bad in this country. And so rather than ranting and like we do about all the different things, they just say, oh, I got the zombie apocalypse. I was at a gun show, and this guy's standing in line in front of me, and he's wearing this T-shirt, and this was a big guy. I'm talking 400 pounds, 6 foot
fills up a doorway.
Nine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this T-shirt says, I can't wait until you're a zombie. And I'm like, I gotta get me one of those.
We'll send them all over to Congress. Let's just give them to Congress.
So I mean, you know, don't mistake the. I mean, there are those goofies out there that
Fruit
just,
Loops,
you know,
Fruit Loops. Let's just be nice, Fruit Loops.
But in all honesty, there's a vast majority of those guys. They see the exact same connection I'm talking about. You see these people walking down the street. You see them all over, and they look right through you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got like blinders. I mean,
yeah.
they're just.
I hate going out in public, because I'm afraid
you,
I'm going to be somebody's going to knock into me and knock me down,
I'm
break a bone or something.
How many people am I going to run into and knock down?
Well, like I just had surgery now, 2 months ago, to my shoulder. Severed rotator and 4 inches of my bicep was torn all the way down to the bone. So I'm healing. Got 52 weeks to go. And I have to go to Walmart sometimes. And if I can't find an electric chair to ride around in, I won't go in. Because that chair is my protection. That's my protection.
I ain't been to Walmart in a few years, and I have no intentions of ever going there.
Well, we have one real close by, and like I bought cat food there and stuff like that. You know, it's cheap.
My wife gets
but I don't
cat food from where she works. I got enough cat food to feed 50 cats for a year.
Yeah, well, I don't want to feed 50 cats.
Lord knows.
I pay $7 for a bag every 2 months. I think I can deal with that.
You know, on one of the on the gun forum that I'm on here locally, you know, somebody had posted up a thread about if you've done something nice for someone lately, and one of the guys said, I shot the neighbor's cat to keep it from running out in the road and getting run over.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. That's funny.
Guys.
I thought that was awesome.
That was great. Oh, my
God.
Good
no. Crazy.
Oh, that's nasty.
Right there.
That's like that sign that says, my neighbor doesn't have guns. You might want to try there.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, you know.
He's looking for things for Christmas, and this is one. It's got about the amendment in the gun. And then on the barrel itself, it's got printing. It says, smile, wait on the flash.
Yeah, smile and wait for the flash.
Out here on New Year's Eve in the ridge where I live, it'll sound like Armageddon going off. And I mean automatic weapons, big weapons, all kinds of stuff. You got to wonder, why do these country boys have all this stuff?
Because they're waiting on the zombie apocalypse, I'm telling you.
That's right, that's right.
That's what we're waiting on, Ron.
Laugh if you will, but let me tell you.
I'm wondering about these retired top brass military that are beginning to make noise about removing Obama.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Well, you notice the Democrats are trying to put forth a bill where you can't execute someone for treason.
What are they worried about, I wonder?
Yeah, they better be worried more about us than the military guys.
Sounds like it.
Maybe they're banking on the fact that, you know, government never gets any laws repealed, but I wouldn't bet my skin on that if I were them.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yep. So you guys going to wrap it up soon or what?
I don't have to know.
Are you in a hurry?
I got 2 hours today. I did 2 hours today.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
This is my first time on radio, and I'm a Leo. I like it.
Awesome.
Now, I can't wait to see y'all guys. Have a little meeting again. It'll be a lot more interesting this year. A lot more people.
There you go. I hope so. It just depends on how things go, you know. It's going to
sure.
be kind of crazy.
Yep.
And
we might be having to do some trial runs, you know. I got to tell you, one way or another, Delaney, we will be there.
Yeah, that's true.
We live here.
Well, that's easy enough for you guys. You ought to be down here by Atlanta.
Oh, thank you. You can have all that. I've been to Atlanta. That's why I live here.
I've been through there once or twice. No, thank you.
Man, I've never been to Georgia, so I don't know anything about it.
Now, who's in the combat zone there, I hear?
I was going to say, who's in the war zone?
It must be a city, folks. It ain't me. Yeah.
That's got to be Linda or Martha.
Yeah, I don't have any sirens right now.
Oh, no, they're going by here.
Okay, it's her.
I'm sitting outside on my swing.
That's why.
Ah.
I'm sitting out on my swing.
Oh.
I'm sitting at the very edge of civilization. Then there are many, many, many thousands of acres, and then there's Luke Air Force Base.
Yeah, I'm real close to Camp Pendleton, so, and I'm also in a city, and I'm not thrilled about being by the city. at this point, but
I'm right on the edge in a little town of 14,000 called El Mirage, and I'm fine with it.
It's really not even there. It just looks like it is.
It's what?
I live out on the hill with
El Mirage. It's really not even there. It just looks like it is.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's quiet. It's peaceful for the most part, and nobody puts up with any crap in the neighborhood.
Good.
I live in a spot on a ridge in the middle of the hills.
Well, aren't you special?
In about 3 or 4 miles, we might have 57 residents.
Yeah.
And every one of them knows and supports what we do.
Yeah.
Cool. That's the best.
I couldn't help but think that maybe more people would be more apt to come to our calls if they had a sense of, what would you call, support system for them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because my house is so dependent on them in so many different ways that, you know, you'll go to jail for dropping off the grid, pulling your kids out of school. You know, they forced us into this situation, and we've let them do it.
I want to be dependent on the government to leave me alone.
That's exactly what I want.
I know.
I want to leave the hell alone.
All of it. Out of our lives. They're too big. They're overbloated, and they start acting like Gestapo when they do this stuff. And it's not fitting.
And they made some terrible cuts. They should be cutting out all this crap, and they're not touching it. Instead,
oh,
they have to go after the military again.
Called on. Then the IRS before that. Oh, they're crap.
How much money have they laundered, taxpayer money have they laundered back to their own supporters, who in turn
probably enough to cover the debt.
The Democratic Party. And Republicans did it too.
Oh yeah.
If we shut down half the government and kept our money at home, that debt would be paid off.
Well, you know what I think is funny is none of these Democrats recognize the current modus operandi as trickle down economics, which is exactly what it is.
Their ignorance is appalling.
You pull all this money into the central government, and then
I guess you heard what Feinstein said.
What about the First Amendment?
I tried not to.
She said the First Amendment is a privilege, not a right.
That woman is almost as stupid as Pelosi.
Why is she still taking up space?
Because we have a dark blue state here. We have Boxer. We have Waters. We have Pelosi. We have Frankenstein. We have nothing but Dems and nut jobs. We have a fascist governor who is destroying California as fast as he can.
Oh, did you see
that
wonderful? I don't know if you saw that video. There was a BBC film crew in San Francisco.
I don't know if I saw it.
They were filming a protest, a bunch of union folks that were protesting because Google parks their private employee shuttle bus. They stop in front of a public transportation, you know, a MARTA bus
mm-hmm.
stop to load employees. And so this union group is protesting, saying that Google should be paying the city to utilize the municipal bus stop. And so this film crew is there filming, and this guy walks up and begins screaming at these protesters, telling them to get the hell out. And they said, you know, what's the problem? If you can't pay your rent, maybe you ought to move to a city where you can afford the rent. It's time for you to move and all this. And it turns out that he was one of the organizers, one of the union employees, pretending to be a Google employee.
Oh, my gosh. Why?
Because they weren't getting enough attention, evidently. There was, you know, nobody was paying attention to their protest. So they just they made up some stuff. And the funny thing was the BBC crew didn't let him get away with it. they started asking him questions, and he didn't want to. He said, that doesn't have anything to do with it. And they said, where do you live? Where do you work? What kind of work do you do? And he said, that's irrelevant. And he's walking away. He said, I can't believe this crap. He said, what kind of effing city is this? And they said, well, why do you live here if you don't like the city? And he said, I'm done talking to you. He said, I've got to go to work. And they said, well, how are you getting to work?
Wow.
And then, he had to later fess up because they had him nailed dead to rights that he was the organizer of the whole damn protest. So he's pretending to argue with one of the protesters, trying to pass himself off as one of the evil rich, Google employees.
Good one. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
How many times they've used that tactic in different places?
Oh, all the time.
It's
look,
like,
why bother with the truth when a lie works well enough?
Exactly. That's
not
that's
my
what's
house.
Going on.
Not in my house.
Yeah. Mine
you know,
either.
You know that CD that Huckabee put out for Christmas?
I haven't seen anything about
it's a children. It's a children's CD. He announces it. It's on the web. It's on Fox. It's on his page. It's all over the place. Anyway, it's a history of Christmas in America in cartoon for kids. And with it, I also got the history of the Constitution, also in cartoon. Now, being that Huckabee is the one that's behind it, I bought it, and I'm giving them to my grandson for Christmas.
Well, what I've seen on his from other people apparently on Facebook and other WND and all these places, Huckabee is apparently for Common Core. So
what?
I don't.
I haven't seen
what,
that yet. I haven't heard
oh,
him
yeah,
say
I
that.
I know last attempt at running for office. My organization, along with, I don't know, several hundred other organizations with ALIPAC, we boycotted Huckabee for his stance on amnesty, where he wanted to grant amnesty.
I think he's one of the biggest rhinos that ever came down the pike. I don't
oh,
trust
I wouldn't,
him.
He didn't
I don't
have
want
my
anything
vote.
To do with him. Yeah, I don't want anything to do with him. And I heard he's going to run again, along
he'll
with
never
Jeb
get
Bush.
It. He'll never get
and
it.
And also Scott Walker. I know he won't get it. Scott Walker, Jeb Bush, and I think I'm
now,
hearing
Walker,
Ted Cruz.
I could take seriously.
Oh,
I don't know.
God.
I don't know enough. I don't know enough about him. I do know what I know about the Wisconsin deal and some of his.
I get
stances.
His newsletters. He's an interesting
so,
man.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's pretty cool and he's a good governor, but I don't know. You know, that doesn't always translate into the best
well,
for the country.
The best, usually the best governors make better presidents than the ones that have been senators.
Yeah, well, that's for damn sure.
Because they've already
I,
been in the position.
So
this is just on a bigger scale.
Yeah, since Ted Cruz is also, according to the Constitution, not a natural-born citizen if his father's from Cuba, but the precedent has already been set that the one from Kenya was deemed to be eligible, so I don't know how that's going to play out. But I heard that he wants to run. So who the hell knows? There's no
well,
rule
it,
of law anymore. So
isn't it interesting that woman was killed, murdered?
Oh,
yeah.
Another hit job. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, the list just keeps growing.
Is Vladimir Putin going to run for president of the United States?
It's just like the Clintons.
You think the lady got killed? You think the lady that got killed knew everything about Obama's birth certificate?
Yeah,
she's the one that put it out there.
Yeah.
Now she's dead. Did you read the write-up on it?
Yeah, I did.
It was just so amazing and so touching. And I thought, what a load of crap.
As her friend held her
and
hand.
And the plane will never be recovered.
Like I said, she was the only one that died in that crash, right?
They were met by a boat, I'm sure. Because
it's
they were, she's the only one that was killed.
Yeah.
Well,
there was
a
shooter. If they didn't shoot her, they held her down.
The list of people that the Clintons have done in, I think he's trying to outdo that list. which that one was pretty
lengthy. He's certainly running a close second, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just disgusting.
If he isn't there yet.
Well, look at the amount
track.
Of people that I, you know, I'm one of these 9/11 truthers, and I think that that was a big false flag, and I think that if you're gonna go toe to toe with number counts, I think Cheney and Bush are way ahead of the pack.
Yeah.
On that one. That's me.
You can see the information coming out now from the 9/11 Commission report.
I haven't seen anything lately.
You're counting Cheney and Bush. I want to count Soros with Obama.
80-some-odd pages, completely redacted, 7,200 words, that basically lay out the fact that what Congress came to the conclusion of is that it was state-sponsored by Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Wow.
I always thought the Kremlin was behind it.
The who?
The Kremlin.
Well, you know, I've got some theories on this whole Russia thing. And for me, it just, the whole fear-mongering over the Soviet Union Cold War crap just doesn't sit with me. And it doesn't sit with me because of what we did with Russia at the end of World War II. You think about it. We gave the Soviet Union half of Europe and half of Germany, and the half of Germany we gave to the Soviets just happened to be the half of Germany that contained the V-2 rocket program and all the accoutrements that went with it. Then we come out and say, oh, look, they have a rocket program. We need one, too. Meanwhile, the Soviets voted with the United States to grant statehood to Israel. So I'm looking at this, and from where I sit now and everything that I've...
That was in 1948.
Correct.
Yeah.
So from everything I've read and understanding more now about the Middle East and the players and how, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood got started, how Hamas got started, I'm beginning to think that Israel was kind of a twofold deal. One, it was the U.S., you know, appeasing a deal that was made with the Brits and the World Zionist Organization in 1917 for, you know, the Balfour Declaration to grant Israel, you know, the Holy Land back. So the U.S. was trying to appease them, but at the same time, if you think about it, we spend a lot of money in Israel. We send a lot of money their way. And it looks to me like Israel is more of an intelligence agency operating as a nation state. And a lot of R&D goes on over there into military weapons.
Yes,
and there's
absolutely.
There's no restrictions over there like there is here in the U.S. You don't have to mess with that messy old Congress. And if you go back and do some reading on Israel, you'll find that Hamas was actually created and funded by Israel.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
What a bite.
Yes, they funded Hamas to battle the PLO and Arafat, and they did it in conjunction with their neighbor, Turkey. And one of the things they did also was they got the Muslim Brotherhood into Syria, into the same town.
But it was Arafat. It was Arafat that wanted to wipe Israel off the map. Also,
Well, you have to understand some terminology, and I understand about Arafat. And so, yes, but you've got to understand, you've got all these different Arab tribes, okay?
Yeah, there's 12, I think.
And they'll unite under the banner of Islam generally, but they hate each other. I mean, they absolutely hate each other, and they'll fight amongst each other. So what the U.S., Britain, and Israel have done is we have fostered specific sects within the Islamic world. The Muslim Brotherhood, they were started with a loan from the Suez Canal Company. Hamas, which was wholeheartedly spun out of whole cloth in Israel to combat, you know, the idea is we'll pay these guys and they'll go fight the PLO and we don't have to get our hands dirty. Under Rabin's leadership in Israel, the number of mosques increased from 200 to 450 within a few years.
Wow.
And Turkey and Israel were working together with the Muslim Brotherhood to unseat Assad, who was the first, Assad's father was the first duly elected leader in Syria, pushing out the British back in, what was it, 53 or 58, somewhere back in there. Israel actually then got the, they floated back in 1980, the same town where we had the supposed chemical gas attack by Assad on the innocent civilians.
Yes.
The exact same town in 1980, the Israelis floated a rumor to the Muslim Brotherhood that Assad had been assassinated.
Oh, my
God. The Muslim Brotherhood, to celebrate, they went through town and started murdering all of the government officials, 200 of them. They're pulling these guys out and cutting their heads off, slicing their throats. Now, of course, none of this is reported in the news media back home. So then Assad, he's had enough, so he attacks, and now it's all over the news that the Syrian military is attacking these poor innocent civilians.
Oh, my gosh.
But, hey, it makes for great TV ratings, you know.
You know, I wish we would just pull out and let them all just kill each other off.
That's what we should have done initially. We should
have
just left them the hell alone. And see, Saudi Arabia, this whole red line agreement, Egypt was well established, okay, in the Middle East. Iran was well established. Turkey and Syria were all well established. Saudi Arabia was this little podunk nothing in the middle of the sandbox. The United States, in the red line agreement, said to, you know, the British, okay, you get Iran because you've got your oil interests there and you've got Syria. Everything in the middle here, Iraq, Israel, the lower, you know, Arabian Peninsula, we'll share that, and Saudi Arabia belongs to us. Well, they were worried, the U.S., allegedly, we were worried that Egypt was going nationalist. Egypt was going commie. So we helped bolster the Muslim Brotherhood. Nasser comes into power in Egypt, and he starts running the Muslim Brotherhood out, and he's putting them in prison. He's putting them on trial. So they all flee down to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, we give them money, and they build universities, and they bring in these Muslim Brotherhood members, and they're teaching radical Islam rather than engineering degrees and other things. We help them create their first banking system. We're really helping these guys out. All the while, we're battling against Nasser. We don't trust him, and we're creating this brood of damn pit bulls on a chain, you know, so we think.
Right.
It's insanity.
It's stupid.
And is it any wonder, I mean, is it any wonder when you look at the whole of the Middle East, is it any wonder that they, you know, they hate us?
Well, this is what you get, Ron, when you get intervention from what used to be the United States of America, you know, that was supposed to not do this and not have these foreign entanglements. This is what happens when you meddle and you do this nonsense. And then, of course, here at home, they have to meddle in everybody's private lives, and they're overbloated, bureaucratic, Lilliputian, evil agencies are just huge. They're like a cancer, and they just keep growing.
Said.
It's like that old movie from The Blob, and it just keeps getting bigger, and it goes everywhere, and I'm sick of it. Time for a napalm torch.
If you read the Confessions of an Economic Hitman, okay, what we did to all these other countries, they've turned inward, and they're doing to us.
Yes. I don't blame them.
I mean, it's plain as the nose on her face.
Yep.
That this is what's going on. Yeah.
And here we sit.
Exactly.
It's like,
and I'm
it's
not
like taking a baseball
this,
bat to a hornet's nest.
You know, and I'm not saying all this to be a blame America first, but damn it, you know, we've got to we have to accept that what has been done in our name in many, many places around the world is not a good thing.
That's
yeah,
right.
I know.
And it's difficult, and I think that's one of the most difficult things for a lot of folks that see themselves as conservative, because then they get defensive and they think you're bashing the troops and you're doing all this and that.
No, the troops don't know.
It's just reality. Well, a lot of them do know now.
Well,
they
don't know what the higher-ups know, let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, you look at our short-term, we have short-term memory dysfunction in this country. Nobody knows, you know, that we overthrew Mossadegh in 53 and that we were involved in all this nonsense over the Middle East.
They're not being taught.
Well, exactly. We teach a revisionist history.
We're infamous for taking foreign leaders out and putting in other foreign leaders that we got to go back and retake out later.
Right. You know, I was having the discussion today, and somebody was talking about that video with the guy lying. And I said, well, it's not as if the left has a lock on the lying trade. You know, the right does it as well. The Republicans are just as good a liars. I said, in fact, sometimes more grandiose. And the guy said, what do you mean? And I said, well, look, it's not a left-right thing. I mean, you've got what? Babies in incubators in Kuwait, right, that never happened. WMDs, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Read my lips, no new taxes. I mean, really, do we have to go through all of the various lies by all the different, you know, they're all political class liars. And, you know, one of the guys said, oh, so are you saying Iraq didn't have WMDs? I said, no, that's not what I said. What I said was, the weapons of mass destruction was a bullshit excuse, and that was not the reason we went into Iraq. It was a lie. Whether they had them or not is inconsequential. And we knew they had some because, of course, we sold them to them.
Jesus. Well, so Clinton said they did. Everybody believed Clinton.
Sure. And then he bombed an aspirin factory.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
Yep.
That was in the Sudan. Might want to look up that and figure out why he bombed an aspirin factory in the Sudan.
Bad intelligence. Somebody else's fault.
Yeah, no, it wasn't bad intel. He did exactly what he wanted. That was perfectly intentional, just like what happened in Benghazi.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, look at that. Look at the debacle, which I call probably one of the second biggest hoaxes in American history outside of this global warming nonsense is that Obama got bin Laden in whatever the hell year it was supposed to be. And I do not believe that for 1 second.
I think the SOB was dead a long time ago before Bashir Benuto was assassinated. The interview with David Frost to me is very telling.
And then when you look at Benghazi, which was horrendously heinous also, and then you look at Extortion 17, and that's what real – I mean, you think that wasn't a hit? Oh, my God.
Of course it was.
Absolutely a hit.
Of course it was.
That was a hit on our special forces guys, and in particular the members of SEAL Team 6 that were aboard that chopper.
And a crummy helicopter.
Oh,
yeah, Chinook, which is a troop transport.
But, I mean, it wasn't – what they were expecting.
It's not a, you know why? One of the reasons why is because the number of missions that our special forces guys are being used for. And several of them have come out and said, look, you know, I'm not going to re-enlist because I feel like I'm being sent out time and time and time and time again trying to kill me.
Oh, yeah, they are. And they're look, I mean, you go back into let's go back even to the Civil War. All this crap these are all unjust wars, and it was all for whatever political gains and monetary, you know, pad and the banksters and the round table groups. The whole thing is disgusting. And that's why when you talked about it, Ron, on your shows, and you said when you were in D.C. and looked over those those gravestones, that's why you were weeping, because you knew what was behind it, that this was not Old Glory and, you know, Yankee Doodle
Dandy.
Right,
it wasn't all that it's been made out to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And you go back and read that thing, and I read it to Mike last night, that Rousseau was talking about if it were possible to make citizens out of human beings, the citizens would become the state or collective, and they would have sovereign power over the human being. And that's
yep.
how you create an artificial person. And all of this, and they do it, it's nationalism. It's made to get you to identify
sure.
with the state, with the federal
sure.
government as being, you know, your paterfamilias and that love of country. Well, I love the
yep.
idea that America
yes.
was founded on.
I know.
I don't love the government that was seen as a necessary evil, and the whole
sure.
purpose of government is to safeguard those universal liberties that
right.
Jefferson spoke so eloquently about.
I agree.
And
I know.
And in that vein, it has been an abject failure.
Right. Because
plain green, Paul. It just keeps growing on us, not in a good way.
Well, you know, the first thing you do is you strike that nationalism, and the founders knew that because
mm-hmm.
they didn't want a standing army and no appropriations for an army for more than 2 years. And they knew that if you had a big army, like Rome, that
mm-hmm.
requires a big government.
Right.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah, because what did the founders used to say? That at best, government is a necessary evil, and at its worst, it is an evil tyrant, and that's where
correct.
We're at now. Because
if you're not going to be an empire builder, right, then you
right.
don't need a huge military. But,
right.
I mean, that horse left the gate a hell of a long time ago.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So here's, exactly, and I remember about 6 or 7 months ago, and Glenn was posing the question, you know, how many times in history do you think a tiny government ever created a Holocaust? I mean, look at what was built up to when Hitler got in. I mean, they all did the same methods. They used the same methodology. They had to have everything their way. They had to have everything nationalized. They had to have control, and they had to build a giant army. Otherwise, they could not do what they wanted to do.
Well,
they built a machine.
In certain aspects, if you look at what Hitler done, it was amazing what he done in the short period of time that he did it.
Well, just
well,
like
it is, and at the same time, if we're going to use, you know, I don't know, just terrible behavior and just murder
mm-hmm.
as a litmus test to who we're going to side with as allies, what the hell were we doing in bed with the Russians?
Yeah, I know.
Because they killed a hell of a lot more than Hitler did.
Oh, those guys
the
were.
The Bolshevik
oh.
Revolution on.
Oh, it was horrendous.
I mean, I
read
you know,
that whole deal from the time of,
yeah.
of Lenin, et cetera, when that Bolshevik Revolution started, and all the
and
way to the end of World War II. And it went back and forth from what Hitler was doing all through his chancellorship of 33 to the end of the war, and then it would talk about how Lenin did his thing and how Stalin took over and what he did. It was horrendous. I mean, it made you weep. It really did. See how barbaric it could be, and how it was unstoppable, and it was just absolute.
If you want to use, if you wanted to use Jews as a litmus test instead of just outright murder, I still think the Soviets have got the Germans beat. I mean, not trying to give Hitler any leeway by any stretch,
no.
but I mean honestly.
Yeah,
oh,
they
were killing.
Million, 20 million is nothing to spit at.
Right,
listen,
you know, no,
I have
not
to,
at all.
I have to get off here and attend to one of my grandchildren.
Okay, love. Thanks. Nice
I
to
enjoyed,
hear
from calling in, Ms.
I enjoyed Martha. Listening to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank
for
you.
Love
having you, too.
Bye.
God
bless
you.
Be
blessed. Good night.
Oh, you
you know, we look throughout history, and we're older now, and as we look back through it, we realize that there was an awful lot of deception going on back then by governments around the globe.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Nothing new. It's been going on since governments started forming.
Since Babylon.
we're following Rome.
Pretty much. A lot of it.
Rome got overwhelmed with where they were given out an entitlement program that they created on their own. Rome was overwhelmed with their immorality. Rome was overwhelmed with their they just pushed themselves. Their government grew too big, too fast. They couldn't afford it. They couldn't keep up with the expenditures. And the immorality, let alone the...
they could not pay to feed their military.
Exactly.
I mean, it was just too big. And, you know, the government, the size of government and the size of your military are directly correlated to one
another.
Related,
yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The bigger the military, the bigger the government you need.
And the other thing they did, Bill, I also heard that they had a problem towards the actual fall of it, where they opened their borders and allowed whomever to come in. So that was another problem. I mean, you have to look at it.
Rome, when they conquered a country, they made the people Romans.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And they brought all kinds of government services. You had roads, running water, bathhouses. My God, look at all the amenities you get. But you're going to have to pay some taxes, too.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's wrong plan. So they did the same thing. We're following those same footsteps. Many people have guessed that there's a second Rome. Well, there is. Look at the United States. Look at our buildings in D.C. and around the globe, around
sure.
our country. I mean,
oh, well, there's a lot of symbology in D.C., isn't there?
For amusement. Where we go
There's tons of symbolism, yes.
And
all
and
over
the
place.
The immorality part is starting to take over. And
you remember what I told you. I still am a very firm believer in the fact that the immorality does not come first. It is a consequence of the loss of freedoms.
It very well could be.
Because with the loss of freedom comes a loss of responsibility. And the less responsibility you have, then the morals are, well, what the hell do I care?
Yeah, I think you could see that when they remember in Germany before Hitler, of course, during the 20s, and they had the Weimar Republic, and there was lawlessness and wantonness and immorality, too. It was kind of hand in hand. Plus, their monetary system was a mess as well. But I'm sure that any loss of freedom that they may have had would contribute to it.
You know, when you take away responsibility,
sure,
and no one has to be responsible for their actions,
right? It's a mess. There's nothing.
My life there in a mode where I had no reason not to do whatever because I felt nothing. I didn't feel remorse. I didn't feel anxieties. I felt just nothing. Because I made mistakes that brought things into my life and then I paid the price, and then at the end of it, I just shut myself down. You can't go through life like that. And you can't go through life thinking that somehow everyone's your master or whatever. And I don't know how a society can accept the fact of just basically bowing down and saying, okay, you're our master. That's what we're doing. That's what this country is doing. They're bowing down and saying, okay, so you're the master. And it's not supposed to be that way. We are the master. We together are the master.
Well, Bill, like I said, I think that we're coming or have come to the realization that what Rousseau wrote about has in practical application happened.
Mm-hmm.
You have transformed human beings into little c citizens. who are subject to the higher power, which is the people or the government.
Right.
The people being an artificial creation.
Sure.
Well,
that is a mirror reflection of the human beings.
It's the takeaway so that you don't have, the only loyalty that you can have is to the collective, because you no longer have a loyalty to your family, your friends, your neighbors, your country, your God. You only have a loyalty to those in charge, the collective.
Well, the state is God.
Yeah, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, what Ron's trying to describe is that once you are deemed this citizen of the state, or, you know, this subject, as you will, you have no legal grounds to stand on anymore. You have no natural rights.
No, you don't, because the collective is the sovereign. And that goes back to, remember, talking about, you look through your constitution. If you've got a pocket constitution, flip through it. And I want you to underline every instance where you see the word citizen. And I'll promise you that what you're going to note is that every time you see it, up until the point of the 14th Amendment, it's always a capital C. And from the 14th Amendment onward, it's a lowercase c.
Wow.
Now, if we take it for granted on face value that the Constitution is a legal document, so the rules of construction say that anything that is different or stands out should be is called conspicuous, and it's done because it's not just, you know, an innocuous change. Something has changed.
Right.
And it's a conspicuous change because it stands out as different from the rest of the document.
Sure. Wow.
Exactly.
I'm going to have to do that. You guys got about 5 minutes left?
Yeah,
well, 7 minutes.
Still there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm listening.
We wanted to play a song tonight to end the show. Yesterday or the day before, I'm not sure which day, a guy named Tom Laughlin passed away.
Yep, Billy Jack.
Billy Jack.
Yep.
That
we're going to play this song.
Was based off of a man named Billy Jack Guy. And in our ancestry book, Billy Jack Guy was a Green Beret. He was in Vietnam. And he kind of fought against the same kind of things there in his area where he lived. And the Billy Jack story was based off of that. And then it went out to who knows where. If you've ever seen Billy Jack Goes to Washington, kind of reminded me of Ted Cruz.
So we're going to play a song and come back on, and everybody get to say what they got to say before we turn off.
Okay.
We like to honor him with the song that's known for the movie that the character that made him known. Go ahead, Lonnie.
There we go.
Listen, children, to a story that was written long ago of a kingdom on a mountain and a valley.
With our brothers.
was all it said.
Show tomorrow night, right to left coast at 7 o'clock. And yes, we are going to broadcast on Christmas Eve, so don't forget that one. Ron will be on Monday.
Yeah, thank
and
you,
guys.
And keep on fighting a good fight.
Amen.
Be good, guys. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Amen. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Good night.